As to the accuracy of those exhibits?
Yes.
Offer the further testimony this witness is out of an expert.
Motion granted.
Kevin, I'm going to have you turn to the packet of exhibits and first to exhibit one. I'd like you to identify that exhibit and then briefly highlight what's contained upon it.
Exhibit one represents the production history of the Dickinson Lodgepole Field in Stark County, North Dakota. What I've done is taking the monthly production figures, oil production figures for the field from February of 1993 through October of 1994, and I've represented that in terms of barrels of oil per day by dividing each one of those cumulative production numbers monthly by an average of 30.4 days. It shows that the field first began producing in February of 1993. At that time, we only had one producing well. It was produced at a somewhat curtailed rate for a period of about 4 months until June of 1993, when Conoco connected the well to a gas pipeline. At that time, the well was produced uncurtailed until November of 1993. The months June, July, and August of 1993 are 3 months of uncurtailed production from the state number 74, when that well was producing by itself. Then in September of 1993, Conoco completed the Cadres number 75 in section 31. In the following month of October of 1993, we completed the Frenzel number 79, also in section 31. And then the following month, in November of 1993, we completed the State A number 83 in section 5. That was the same month that Conoco began voluntarily curtailing production in the field. Production was further curtailed in December and January, and then in April of 1993, the production was brought up from 300 barrels a day to about 600 barrels a day, and that production curtailment rate was held until water injection began in the field in October of 1994.
Kevin, it's true, is it not, that a portion of the Dickinson Lodgepole pool has now been unitized?
That's correct.
And when was the pool unitized?
The effective date of the unit was July 1st of 1994.
And when did water injection commence on that unit?
Water injection began on October the 5th, 1994, and 2 days later, the two producing wells were brought online at uncurtailed production rates.
So do you have an opinion as to when the incremental production commenced in this unit?
Yes, incremental production began on October the 7th, 1994.
Okay, Kevin, let's go on to the next exhibit, Exhibit 2.
Exhibit number 2 represents production history from the Dickinson State number 74, which was the discovery well in Section 32. As you can see from Exhibit number 1, it's very difficult to take the average field production numbers over the life of the field and establish any kind of exponential decline for the field. Since inception, Conoco has been acquiring daily well tests on each well, which are basically tank gauges on each well. We have a test system after the unit was formed, and before the unit was formed, every well had its own tank battery. And so we have kept track of the daily well tests on the well ever since the well was first brought online in February of 1993. If you refer back to exhibit number one, the three-month period from June, July, and August of 1993 were the only 3 months that the State 74 was produced at an uncurtailed production rate. If you were to take a decline curve using only those three data points, you would arrive at approximately a 62% exponential decline. It's typically not a prudent thing to do to use only three data points in order to calculate a production decline. And so what I've done beginning on exhibit number 3 is I have focused in on the time period from June 1993 through October of 1993, which is that same production period when the well was produced uncurtailed.
So this is just a blow-up of a portion of the data that's on 2, is that correct?
That's correct. Since Conoco has acquired these daily well tests, it enables us to do a decline curve analysis on approximately 4 months of daily well tests, or about 120 data points, versus the 3 monthly data points from exhibit number one.
Excuse me, Kevin. You've lost me here. On exhibit two, you say that the 74 well was produced unrestricted from June, July, and August. Okay, now that's on exhibit two. Now on exhibit three, you're saying that it was uncurtailed from June through October?
Yeah, exhibit number one, the problem you have is that beginning in September of 1993, if you look at the field production curve, we started adding wells to the field. And so it's very difficult from exhibit number one to draw a field decline unless you're just going to rely on the three data points, June, July, and August of 1993, where the state number 74 was producing by itself.
Okay, and that's the period of time where you got the 62% decline just using those 3 months.
That's correct. What we've done beginning on exhibit number two is I'm showing the entire history based on well tests from the state number 74. And if you look at the graph, the time period from June through October where the well was produced unrestricted, you can see a very obvious decline rate on exhibit number two. Then starting in November, we started curtailing production in the field. And then January through September, the well was only produced intermittently. That's why you see all the spiky production on that curve. We only produced it for a few days a month. And so really, you can't use any information in 1994 at all in order to draw a decline on the 74. So what I've done on exhibit number three is I focused in on the time period from June through October of 1994, which represents that period of time when the state number 74 was produced unrestricted. Sorry, I probably got a little ahead of myself on exhibit number two. Sorry for the confusion.
Okay, I guess what confused me is originally I thought you said we just had 3 months to look at, but on exhibit three, as far as the state number 74 well is concerned, we've got June through October to look at as far as the decline curve.
Right, okay. Right. Sorry, I moved a little too quickly off.
So we've got a little more than just 3 months to look at.
Yeah, okay. Referring to the whole field decline, you've only got 3 months to look
right.
at. Yeah. So what you see from exhibit number three is that using the approximately 120 data points from the daily well tests, you can come up with a very good exponential fit to the decline of the state number 74. And shown on the bottom where it says decline fraction, off to the far right where it says annual decline, that represents an annual decline of 59.7% per year.
Florence, before we go on, there's a light blue Ford or car in the parking lot with its lights on.
Taurus.
Okay.
Moving on to exhibit number four, this represents the production history based on daily well tests for the Cadmus number 75, covering the period September of 1993 through December of early December of 1994. Like the previous exhibits on the state number 74, you can see that beginning in November of 1993, Conoco began curtailing production. And then from January through June of 1994, the Cadmus number 75 was only produced intermittently as part of the curtailment schedule that we had. After the unit was formed in July of 1994, the Cadmus number 75 was not produced for a period of 4 months. That was because our central production facility was located at the state number 74 battery, and we were in the process of constructing production facilities to tie the 75 into the 74, and we didn't have the facilities to produce that well. And after we unitized the field, all the production from the 74 was shared on a unitized basis. But the 75 did have a period of uncurtailed production for the month September, October of 1993. So what I've done on exhibit number five is I've zoomed in on the time period using daily well tests for September and October. And you can see if you put a best fit exponential decline through that time period, you come up with an annual decline of approximately 77% per year, which is slightly steeper than the number as shown from the state number 74. Part of that difference is probably due to the fact that we immediately began to see some competition between these two well bores, and also part of it is due to the fact that you've got a much shorter time period by which to do your decline. So I would say you'd have a little less confidence in the decline figure represented by exhibit number 5 than you do from the decline figure represented by exhibit number 3.
Let's go to the next exhibit, Kevin, exhibit 6.
Exhibit number 6 shows the production history of the Frenzel number 79 located in the north half of section 31. This well was completed in early October of 1993, and although the month of October does represent a time period of unrestrained production, this well did start to produce water almost immediately after it was produced, and Conoco had to severely cut back the production rate in order to keep the water from prematurely breaking through in the wellbore. So really there's no time period on the Frenzel number 79 where you can establish an individual well decline. And then beginning in January, as in the previous two wells, the well was only produced intermittently. We stopped production on the Frenzel number 79 after the June production. This well has been converted to water injection, so it was not produced after June of 1994.
So basically the importance of this exhibit is just to show that you can't draw a decline curve on this well.
That's correct.
Let's go to the next exhibit, exhibit 7.
Exhibit number 7 is the production history from the state A number 83 in section 5. Much like the Frenzel number 79 curve, this graph just shows that this well was produced intermittently starting in late November of 1993 through June of 1994. The state number 83 was completed after Conoco had begun to curtail the field-wide production, and so with the exception of about 6 or 7 days in the month of November, there was never an uncurtailed time period when the state 83 was produced. Therefore, you can't really use this well either to establish any exponential decline. I should also point out that there was never a time period in this reservoir when all four wells were produced simultaneously under primary depletion. We did have a very, very short time period in early October of 1993 when three of the four wells were produced. So we really don't have a real good idea of what the decline rate would have been had all four wells been produced simultaneously. I suspect what you would have seen is a decline rate that was probably more severe than either the 60% from the state 74 or the 77% from the catchers number 75. But at this point, that's just a hypothetical. We don't have that information available to us.
Let's go on to the final exhibit, Kevin. Exhibit 8.
What I've done on Exhibit 8 is I've just taken the historical production that is shown on Exhibit 1 in 1993 and 1994. I've added two data points to that, the first being November of 1994. Based on Conoco's well test, we think the field averaged approximately 1,893 barrels of oil per day in November of 1994, and we think it'll average approximately 3,000 barrels of oil per day in December of 1994. Even though those numbers aren't official numbers yet, the last monthly production data available at this time is the month of October. As I also stated earlier, I have a lot more confidence in the 60% decline number on the state number 74 because it represents a larger time period, a longer time period, the 77% from the Cadmus number 75. It's difficult to say whether or not that's representative. And so all I've done with exhibit number 8 is I've shown applying the 60% decline factor from the state number 74, what impact that would have on the entire field production beginning in December of 1994.
Kevin, in your opinion, does Exhibit 8 accurately represent the primary production curve for the Dickinson Lodgepole unit?
Well, the problem you have is that, as you can fairly obviously see from Exhibit number 1 and the first half of Exhibit number 2, which shows the historical data, there's really not a good way to use decline curve analysis in order to make a prediction of future production in this field. I believe that the 60% decline is probably a pretty good estimate of what would happen above the bubble point. Once you get to the bubble point, however, you're going to start breaking gas out of solution and forming a secondary gas cap, which is going to cause the curve to start to take on more of a hyperbolic shape. Also, complicating factor is that we estimate that without water injection, at about a pressure of 24 to 2300 psi, all the wells in the field would have to be put on artificial lift. Since the historical period represents a time when all the wells were flowing, it's very difficult with decline curve analysis to take into consideration artificial lift, since none of the wells are currently pumped. Therefore, within the confines of decline curve analysis, I think that Exhibit 8 is probably the best interpretation that can be made. However, I do think it's unrealistic to think that by the year 2000, without water flooding, that the field would be down to 10 barrels a day. I think that's very low. I don't think it would be anywhere near that low.
So, Kevin, then to briefly summarize, what you're telling us is, given the limited information you have and doing your analysis within the confines of decline curve analysis, this is your best estimate of what the primary production will be.
That's correct.
That's all the questions I have for this witness. We'd offer Exhibits 1 through 8.
Okay, we'll accept the exhibits into the record. Are there any questions from the staff?
I have a couple questions. Referring to Exhibit 3, the segment of the curve between June and October, was the choke adjusted at all on the well?
There's only one time when it was, and it was only done for one day. If you see that little spike in August,
okay,
about the middle of August, we bumped the choke from a 24/64 to a 28/64. And we immediately started to produce a small quantity of water, and so the next day the choke was bumped back down. And so in my analysis, I have not included those two spikes that you see in August. Those data points were eliminated from the decline. Other than that, they were all the same choke size.
And I assume you adjusted the choke beginning November through middle December.
That's correct.
The smaller choke. And the same would be true on exhibit number 75, you had no adjustment on the choke interval from September through October?
Right.
And then it was adjusted in November and December?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, I agree with you. I agree that this analysis probably does indicate what the reservoir would perform at because of the high productivity from the reservoir versus the amount of reserves there. However, one thing I have a problem with, and that is the statute was specifically addressing manipulation and so forth, and the word, it says, where the Industrial Commission cannot establish an accurate production decline curve, meaning for the reservoir, in the absence of that, they should use a 10% decline. And of course, there we run into the same problem. What do we use as a starting point on the 10% decline? And I was wondering if you had any comments pertaining to those two observations.
Well, I believe that the natural decline of the field, had there never been a water flood, would have been a whole lot steeper than 10%. And like I said earlier, it's very difficult, I think, to use a single decline rate as you would an exponential decline to characterize the future production. I think that what you would really have is a hyperbolic decline. The problem is you can't use even this well test data and arrive at any kind of reasonable estimate of that hyperbolic breakover point because we don't have enough history. If you're going to use a 10% decline, you obviously cannot start it at 3,000 barrels a day. If you run that calculation, a 10% decline beginning at 3,000 barrels a day will give you an ultimate field production of over 10 million barrels of oil. Since the oil in place is only about 20 million barrels of oil, that would predict that you would have a primary production factor of almost 50% of oil in place, which I think you all would agree is not very realistic. I think you could probably make the 10% decline rate work, but the starting point is just as important as the decline rate, and there would have to be some give and take on that start rate in order to make the 10% work.
Thank you.
What was the estimated primary recovery for this field with all?
About 5.4 million barrels.
Kevin, getting back to your exhibit number 3 on the Dickinson State 74 well, during that time period from June to October, would you say that that well had gone into pseudo-steady state conditions at that time?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, if that is the case, then we could say that, okay, when these other wells came on, because of the rapid interference that we saw in the production, that it wouldn't take very long for this whole reservoir to get into the pseudo-steady state condition to where we're going to have one primary decline, which would be around, and I have to agree with you, around the decline of this State 74 well.
Yeah,
so basically, to give this reservoir a 10% decline would not really be an accurate assumption to do, would it?
I think that same comments I addressed to Mr. Norton's question apply. The information we have from transit analysis and that kind of thing indicates that all the wells get into semi-steady state flow within minutes after you change the choke size. So, the problem is, likewise with the 10%, however, like I talked my direct testimony with Mr. Bender, you really have the same problem with a 60% decline, though, because we know from other solution gas drive reservoirs that it's reasonable to think that when the field hits the bubble point and you start to get a gas saturation in the reservoir and build a secondary gas cap, that the decline is going to start to level off. So, in that respect, the 60% is a little unrealistic as you get further out
further
in time.
Out for the life of the well.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin, on your Exhibit 1, from June through August, how many wells did you say were on?
Just one.
Oh, just one.
Just one. The Cadramus number 75 was the second well completed within this reservoir, and it began production, I think, on June the 5th or June the 6th of 19... I'm sorry, September the 5th or 6th of 1993. Okay. Up until that point, the State 74 was the only well producing.
Kevin, on your Exhibit 8, did you calculate how much oil would be under the curve?
A little over 2 million barrels, if you included the historical production. Through December, we have produced roughly 800,000 barrels.
So that'd be including that 800,000?
Yes.
Anything further? Okay, we'll conclude the hearing.
Thank you.
The next case.